I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This morning, a trio of mayors from New York City, Chicago, and Denver are all calling for federal support responding to the national immigration crisis, accusing Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott of cruel and inhumane politics busing migrants across the country.
We're looking at about $160 million of potential costs going into next year's budget. That's almost 10% of our entire city budget.
New York City's mayor issuing an executive order requiring advance notice for buses dropping off migrants in the city, now only allowing their arrival weekday mornings between 8:30 and noon. This as officials Wednesday shuttled hundreds of people to overcrowded shelters throughout the city.
To be clear, this is not stopping people from coming, but about ensuring the safety of migrants and making sure they can arrive in a coordinated and orderly way.
The mayor's office says more than 7,000 asylum seekers have arrived in New York City in just the last 2 weeks.
How does he do it? How does the mayor of New York City and all the other Democrats do it? Speak out of both sides of their mouth at one time. First of all, immigrants, you must book your pass. We need to know when you're arriving. Of course, he's really talking to the governor of Texas who's sending the buses up to New York City, or any others are doing it. But we're going to have scheduled arrivals. Book your passage on your bus now for Texas. And at the same time saying, immigrants, because they don't want to call them illegals, immigrants, we want you to understand you're still welcome here, but we don't have room for you. And we really can't pay to take care of you. And we'll probably ship you somewhere else. So there was an ABC report. And in that short report, you got everything you need to know about how the Democrat policies are a big fail when it comes to immigration. Now, of course, remember yesterday. Yesterday, we had Biden sending Secretary of State Blinken and Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas down to Mexico to meet with the Mexican president and share some tamales and tequila and pose for some pictures. Now, supposedly they were going to tell him, you got to do something to stop what's happening at the border, as if he's responsible for our border being open. This month of December, by all estimations, we're going to see a record month of illegals entering our nation. 200,000. If that's not an invasion, I don't know what you call it. All right, glad to have you on board with us again. Here we are, December 28th, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA. Back to back, right here for you, every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8. We're here. And when we're on the air with you, we are also streaming video. You'll find it at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. You'll find it at News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. We're available everywhere for you, even beyond those. And perchance you miss one of them, or you want to go back and listen to more details or watch the program closer, you can do that easily. Everything will then be posted at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Think of it as a podcast. I don't know how many people say, hey, how's that podcast? It's not a podcast. It's a radio show. Then we present a podcast after. Those folks are all bought into this lingo. Podcast. I know podcast. Well, somewhere it has to begin. And it begins here on the air live for you when we're doing it. And we're presenting material for you, video and audio. And then it goes to the podcast where you can find it at LarryConnorsUSA.com. All right, so once again, we have these three mayors, as you heard them say, the mayor of Colorado, the governor of Colorado. Let me correct that. The mayor of Denver. Thank you, Larry, for correcting yourself. The mayor of Denver, the mayor of Chicago, the mayor of New York, all saying, oh, we're all about having immigrants come to our sanctuary city. But we don't have time for them. We don't have money. We don't have places for them. Oh, my God, what are we going to do now? Call for the federal government to get more money for us. That is the bottom line plan. And, of course, even Democrats are seeing how this is destroying their enclaves. It is absolutely disrupting everything. Let me let you hear from Chicago Mayor Johnson, who's under attack because he's not handling the immigration properly.
The technical support that we receive from the federal government, we appreciate that. Work authorization to put people on a pathway to sustainability, I certainly appreciate that. And without real significant investment from our federal government, it won't just be the city of Chicago that won't be able to maintain this mission. It's the entire country that is now at stake. But in no way what the state of Texas is doing is helping the cause. As much as we recognize that there are challenges, significant challenges at the border, and we do need real substantive immigration reform and policies that allow us to have a structure and a pathway to citizenship. But again, sending buses all over the state of Illinois and all over the country is reckless and, quite frankly, is dangerous.
Oh, really? May I offer an opinion? When the illegals get off those buses in Chicago, that probably will be more dangerous when they venture into Chicago. Not sending buses all over the state of Illinois or any other blue state. By the way, my boots on the ground correspondent Andrew had been in the St. Louis area for Christmas with family and noted to me on the drive back he was seeing signs posted as they got closer to Chicago, no immigrant bus exit here. And down the road, another exit marked, no immigrant bus exit here. In other words, don't exit here. Keep going. Just another sign of the times, right? And then you have the New York City Mayor Adams. And, of course, all the fault and the blame, in his opinion, has to fall upon the Texas Governor Abbott.
Just a few weeks ago, Governor Abbott promised to send an additional 25,000 migrants to New York City alone. We expect the surge to intensify in the coming days and weeks. We cannot allow buses with people needing our help to arrive without warning at any hour of day and night. This not only prevents us from providing assistance in an orderly way, it puts those who have already suffered so much in danger.
Well, I know they've suffered a lot already. That I will agree. But here again, we're hearing from the Chicago mayor. Boy, you get here, you're in danger. What about your citizens? What about your citizens in Chicago? And then for Mayor Adams in New York, he's saying the same thing. They get here, they're in danger. Well, they think they're going to be safer there than they've been wherever they were, and they want to be there, or they wouldn't get on the bus. Nobody is forcing any of these illegals to get on a bus to Chicago or New York. You ask them, do you want to go to Chicago or New York? Yeah. Okay, you're on the bus. We'll let you on. But these mayors want you to believe this is creating a dangerous situation for these immigrants. They've already had to pay the drug cartels to get them to the border, and along the way they probably faced rape, torture, who knows what else. Maybe had to leave a child or two behind. Just don't have time to keep up. Don't have enough water. Too bad. All of this coming from these blue city mayors. Now, you were hearing Mayor Adams then say it's all on the Texas governor creating all this. I want you to hear from a Texas congresswoman, Beth Van Dunn, about her reaction to what you just heard the New York City mayor say.
Listen to what Eric Adams is saying. We can't have buses of people that we don't know are coming into our city, and we need notice. Welcome to Texas's problem that we've been dealing with for years. We have had over 4 million illegal immigrants enter our state in the last 2 years since Biden took over. Welcome to the party. And I hold this particularly personally because I was mayor at a time when I was on the board for the U.S. Conference of Mayors. And I dealt with these big city mayors that were just horrible to our city and other cities like ours that were trying to take on and partner with the federal government on immigration issues and ways of being able to combat it. We were told, you know, you need to be a sanctuary city. It's not until it's affecting them that you're actually seeing them push for different measures. And by the way, the measures that they're pushing for aren't changes in policy. They just want more money.
Yep, they just want more money. I love it. She said, welcome to the party. We've been dealing with this for years. Now it's suddenly in your backyard, and now it's an issue. And you're going to get the same response from Texas Congressman Keith Self.
It is simply the Biden administration refusal to obey the laws, to enforce the laws, to execute the laws that they swore to uphold. This is not a matter of money. It's not a matter of policy. This is a matter of them doing their job, period. The border is now totally uncontrolled. When you talk to people coming across the border, and reporters do it all the time, they don't talk about asylum anymore. They simply talk about, we want jobs in America. They're not even claiming asylum. This is a dangerous time for our border. It's no longer an invasion. This is now a tsunami coming across our southern border. We must secure the southern border. And Artem Mayorkas, again, needs to resign.
No, not only needs to resign, we need to impeach him. Because he took an oath of office, as did Biden, to protect our nation from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we're not only not protecting our nation, we're encouraging others to invade our nation. And here again, you had Mayor Adams insisting, we want bus operators to know if you're transporting migrants to our city with fares paid for by a third party, you've got to give us at least 32 hours notice before you arrive. How are your trains and subways running in New York City, by the way, Mayor? Are they running on time? Are you giving everyone 32 hours notice that you're probably going to be late? Now, again, back to Texas Congresswoman Beth Van Doon, obviously a Republican, saying, you look at where we are now, back to when we had Trump.
If you go back to the last administration, when Secretary of State Mike Pompeo went down to negotiate with Mexico, it was with a position of strength. Trump was very clear. They either help us or we're going to do everything that we can not to help them. We're going to hold back, you know, the money that we're giving them in aid. We're going to add tariffs. We're going to start shutting down our trade areas in order to stop these folks from coming in. But what we're seeing right now under the Biden administration is the exact opposite of that. We have absolutely no strength. They know it. They went down there for a photo op. But the policies have not changed. If they were serious about it, they would look at the tools that they took off the table, such as the Remain in Mexico policy, such as the First Safe Country policy, and get rid of policies that they added, like catch and release. The money that we're putting into the border and into CBP and into Homeland Security is not going to protect and secure our borders. It's going to get more and more people into and filed into our country illegally.
No, it's not. And South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says there's a reason.
Here's the dirty little secret. They could fix this tomorrow if they went back to Trump policies, but they won't do it. We're going to change the law to give them tools to deal with this. Will they use it? I don't think so. No matter what we do, no matter how we write the law, they want it this way. They're either the most incompetent people in the history of the world, or they want it this way. I think they want it this way. So I'm working with Senator Lankford, who's doing a great job, to change the asylum system, to put a limit on parole, the magnets that draw these
people. So policy changes, because money
policy. Policy changes, but you change the policy, you got to have the will, right? If you don't have the will to use the tools you have, you go nowhere. So to the American people, if this problem doesn't get better, it's because they don't want it to get better.
They don't want it to get better, so you better change the people. That would be the White House and all those supporting open borders. On another topic, Israel continues to hunt down Hamas terrorists, and the Biden administration continues to show weakness in protecting U.S. troops in that region. We're going to have more on that coming up in the second hour. In the meantime, Jewish college students are suing their universities, and for good reason.
The university sued include the University of Pennsylvania, NYU, Carnegie Mellon, and Berkeley. And lawyers say more lawsuits against other universities are coming. The students claim that the universities have violated Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which prohibits any program receiving federal funding, like a public or private university, from excluding, denying, or discriminating against a person based on race, color, or national origin. Now, one of the students suing the University of Pennsylvania says the university fosters a hostile environment.
And I think we saw that when university presidents of Harvard, MIT, and University of Pennsylvania testified in front of Congress. Total idiocy. Could not declare that shouting out from the river to the sea was calling for the genocide of Jews, and at the same time saying, well, it's until they actually do something, we can't really do it. It's all about free speech, right? Well, let's deal with that subject of free speech on the campuses.
The protests on college campuses are often defended as exercises of free speech, but experts, including the former Assistant U.S. Secretary of Education for Civil Rights, say the law does not protect speech that intimidates or harasses Jewish students.
There are universities that have terrible reputation when it comes to free speech. They censor and punish people for saying things that are politically incorrect. And yet when it comes to anti-Semitism, suddenly they discover the First Amendment.
Suddenly they discover the First Amendment. Keep that in mind, because look at all the microaggressions they go after all the time. Both of those reports from ABC News, I should point out, or Fox, I should point out. And it is absolutely correct in the sense that, as the Bible says, the log in your brother's eye, or your eye you don't see, where you're talking about the splinter in your brother's eye, they are absolutely ignoring it because it does not fit the narrative. It is simple as that. And to that extent, Terrell, of course, the civil rights attorney, pointing out that when you look at these suits and everything, Terrell says this is going to be easy for the students.
This is a slam dunk case on behalf of the students. They have a winning case. Why? Because the evidence is overwhelming. These Jewish students on these private and public universities, Molly, are being intimidated, harassed. How can they enjoy the quality of an education, studying, when they're being harassed, targeted specifically because of their religious belief? They can get injunctive relief, Molly. They can get a court to order protection and to make sure they're safe. And I would submit to you that the Democratic administration, Department of Education, is not doing enough. Where's Merrick Garland? And I think it's a double standard. When the Jewish students are being targeted, I would submit to you, if this was being targeted towards Black or Hispanic students, you would have the FBI, Department of Justice, National Guard on these campuses. The Jewish students are being disadvantaged because they're Jewish.
Leo Terrell on Fox News, he's absolutely right. And I think he's right. It's going to be a slam dunk case for them, and there will be more suits coming. Later this hour, a new survey regarding Gen Z views of the man who orchestrated 9/11 is sickening. All the details of that. Plus, could there be a new impeachment issue for Joe Biden? And a Biden-Harris campaign site equating Trump with Hitler? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business, affecting you, your family, clients, Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest, Rabbi Yaakov Menken, is the founder of Project Genesis and the chief architect of its website, where you're going to find hundreds of commentaries regarding the Torah. Rabbi Menken, glad to have you on board, sir. Welcome back.
Glad to be with you.
So let me begin with something I was telling the audience before we went to break. It happened the other day, but I want to pick it up with you. This is a Twitter account run by the Biden-Harris 2024 campaign trying to say and equate Donald Trump with Adolf Hitler. Your response.
So, first of all, I should clarify that this is through my work with the Coalition for Jewish Values. We're out there articulating Jewish values in public policy as public policy issues arise that apply to, you know, what the country calls Judeo-Christian ethics.
Right.
It's been misrepresented. So through Coalition for Jewish Values, of course, this came on our radar. We don't have a political candidate running for the presidency who could in any way be compared to a Nazi on either side of the aisle. The same could not be said for certain members of Congress. So you have to wonder, why is the Biden administration running to try to associate, in the most feeble way possible, trying to compare certain statements made by President Trump to certain statements made by Adolf Hitler, when you have people in Congress who are actually proposing the same ideas about Jews?
Let's push the curtain aside. Who are you talking about in Congress? I know, but I want you to elaborate.
Well, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, not only that, but AOC, in her first national interview, she articulated the two key signs, according to rabbinic literature, of anti-Semitic bigotry as the only two things she knows about the Middle East. And that's because she knows nothing but what she's been indoctrinated by the Democratic Socialists of America to say.
Well, now, we know they want to demonize Trump. And they're picking up on a phrase he said about all the illegals coming into the country, and they're poisoning our country. And, of course, that relates to a Hitler statement in Mein Kampf, not that I've read it, but I've seen excerpts of it, saying that the Jewish people are poisoning our people. That was where he was trying to go. That's not at all where Trump was going. And he's talking about poisoning what's happening in our country, which is entirely different. And on top of that, no one's pushing for a Holocaust again.
Trump was actually not saying that immigrants are poisoning the country. He said that Democrats are poisoning the country by welcoming illegal immigration.
In both, yeah.
This is a country built by immigrants, but it's built by legal immigrants.
Correct.
People who came into this country to help build the country, not people coming in, streaming over the southern border to see what benefits they can get rather than doing hard work in their home countries. It's not the way to benefit a society to welcome in with unfettered immigration like that. It doesn't help the United States. It also doesn't help their home countries. All it does is bring in people who have not been vetted, who we don't know what they really stand for. Are they going to be people who try to tear down this country? Well, like Ilhan Omar.
Now, once again, in your other capacity in trying to make sure that the world and the nation are aware of Jewish concepts and so forth, I'm looking at least four different universities now being sued by Jewish students under Title VI, basically that they are being subjected to unlawful, as they're claiming in their suit, unlawful, unconstitutional attacks because they're not being protected. The university's falling back. Say, well, there's no issue with you being slandered on campus or people calling for genocide if they don't actually react to it. I know you've got some thoughts on that point.
If the country wants, if middle America wants to wake up and push back against this DEI indoctrination on campus, now the opportunity has finally arisen for people to push back against DEI, which actually stands for dogmatism, exclusion, and intolerance, no matter what nice words they try to put on it.
Right.
Because, without being called a racist, because you're not fighting against black or brown people. On the contrary, you're fighting on behalf of Jewish students who are being ignored on campus under the rubric of DEI. DEI is all about punishing people for being successful. Jewish kids tend to be successful on campus. Therefore, we're not going to protect them as a minority. On the contrary, we're going to claim they're oppressors, which is just the most obscene thing imaginable. Calling Jews less than a century after the Holocaust, claiming Jews have white privilege, no, thank you.
I would.
You know, this is a... Go on.
I was going to say, I would have loved to have been watching you as you were watching the Harvard president and MIT and University of Pennsylvania president fumble around on what constitutes a disorder or breaking the code of their colleges while shouting from the river to the sea.
Right. It doesn't violate the code of conduct to call for all Jews to be massacred.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and by the way, it's not just these leading colleges. The entire Students for Justice in Palestine organization declared itself to be part of Hamas. I mean, so much so that, at least according to the state of Florida, they declared themselves part of the international terror organization. Well, this is an organization, SJP is an organization providing material support to terror. Therefore, any university funding an SJP chapter is actually violating not only Florida state, but actually federal law. They could be hauled off in handcuffs. Don't donate to your alma mater if your alma mater is funding an SJP chapter. It's funding a hate group.
Excellent
point. It's funding
point.
A foreign terror organization.
Excellent point. Now, Rabbi Mencken, one of your, and you're right, it's not just in those universities, and it's not just in universities. It's in high schools and lower grades as well. And in fact, one of your fellow rabbis, Shmuley, was in New York City the other day at an ice rink, and a Muslim couple with their 13-year-old child approached them, and they had the daughter basically tell him, you should kill yourself.
Exactly. I mean, this idea that it has something to do with Israel and politics, you know, these are the same people who told us that Brett Kavanaugh should be crucified for a rape he never committed with a girl he never met in a place she could never identify. But yet they're prepared to deny that Hamas committed the rapes that it live streamed themselves doing. I mean, this is just an obscenity. And they don't care about actual human rights or civil rights or any political dispute. They only care about hating Jews.
Since you brought up Hamas and what's happening now, where is the cry from the UN or anyone else? I hear nothing but silence when we heard all the information and now documented by those who came out of the hospitals as to how Hamas was hiding inside the hospitals, military command and weapons. Where is the outcry for you cannot hide in a hospital?
This is the reason why they have to mask that over is they want to accuse Israel of committing a war crime. It's a fact. It's in the laws of war that if a terror organization or any combatant takes over a hospital, that is A, a war crime, and B, renders the hospital a completely legitimate military target. Nonetheless, Israel does not bomb the entire hospital. Rather, it goes into the hospital. The reason why it is effective with a country like Israel for Hamas to be using human shields and using mosques and hospitals and everything else is because A, they can rely on Israel not to bomb those locations wholesale, and B, rely on the international community to condemn Israel anyway, even though it's the only military force that won't bomb them, the same way the United States completely bombed and destroyed a hospital in West Mosul, Iraq, as it was eliminating ISIS. Nobody looked twice at that because ISIS had taken over the hospital and was using it as a military base.
Yeah,
and but Israel, different story.
Yeah, totally different story. You're right. In fact, back in 2014 during the Gaza War then, the Washington Post London bureau chief asserted then that that hospital had become a de facto headquarters for Hamas leaders. They could be seen in the hallways and offices. That was even back in 2014, and yet the New York Times recently is trying to portray, well, it's a contested matter as to whether Hamas was inside the hospital or not.
It's not that these people are that imbecilic. They're not that stupid. It's not as if they don't know the way the hospital was being misused, because everybody who was in that hospital testified to it. It's that they hate the Jewish community so much that they will demonize Israel for doing exactly what every other military would do in the same time. In fact, doing it in a way that eliminates fewer civilian casualties.
Do you think it would make any difference to the American public? I know my audience already stands with Israel, but there is now confirmation that a 70-year-old American-Israeli dual national, 70-year-old woman, confirmed to have been murdered by Hamas during October 7. They thought she had been taken hostage. Now they determine, no, she was murdered on the site along with her husband. That's an American, an American-Israeli dual passport.
Yes, and you have Jewish Americans
yes.
running around calling for a ceasefire with Hamas. How can you be calling for a ceasefire with Hamas when you know from 2005 to 2004, every single ceasefire that Hamas ever had, Hamas eventually broke. And how did they break it? By murdering more Jews. So now finally Israel's on the road to eradicating the terror organization, and the people calling for a quote-unquote ceasefire are calling for the terror organization to continue to exist, not be eradicated, be permitted to rebuild so they can go back and murder more Jews. And you're hearing that only from Americans, you're hearing from Jewish Americans. It's absolutely insane.
Point made. Rabbi Mencken, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. We'll do it again. Rabbi Mencken. Coming up, by the way, a new report, a survey on Osama bin Laden and what some Americans think of him.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
Because she's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Osama bin Laden gladly took responsibility for those 9/11 terrorist attacks at the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the crash of Flight 93 in Pennsylvania. Now the Daily Mail is revealing the results of their exclusive poll that's being called both astonishing and sickening. The Daily Mail poll showing nearly 1 in 5 Americans aged 18 to 29 has a positive view of Osama bin Laden. That survey also finding that 3 in 10 Gen Zers believe bin Laden's anti-American, anti-Semitic views and his killings of innocent people was a force for good. It's believed the troubling positive views of bin Laden stems from a letter written by the former leader of Al-Qaeda 20 years ago and was recently posted on TikTok last month. The letter titled Letter to America was written a year after the 9/11 attacks. Bin Laden's words garnered sympathy from many younger TikTok users, but the overwhelming collective outrage about TikTok allowing the letter to be featured on the app forced the company to reverse course and pull the letter down.
That is one thing that TikTok did that I will praise. They took the letter down, but by then it had already been circulated repeatedly and got praise and interest from Gen Z. What is Gen Z? Well, if you have to ask, you're probably not part of it. It basically is the age 18 to 29. Now, the 9/11 attacks happened before many of them were born. I'm sure Pearl Harbor happened before many of you listening were born. But you know the horror it inflicted. And if the Emperor of Japan had written a letter shortly afterwards and or had even written it before, and then it was released later via whatever means we had then, which is not like the electronic fashion we have now, how many would have thought, well, you know what, maybe the Japanese had a good reason to attack Pearl Harbor and to start fighting the U.S. Or even if Adolf Hitler, something he had written prior to that, and they would release it, and folks would say, well, there's a good reason that he carried out Holocaust against the Jews and then attacked forces in dragging U.S. into a war along with Japan. The Osama bin Laden letter basically was condemning U.S. support for Israel. There's the first catch for many. Okay, anything anti-Israel, I'm for, many will say. And it accuses Americans of aiding the oppression of Palestinian people. Oh, there's another catch. It's a trap set immediately. And TikTok had no idea what it would do once it put it out, right? And yet, if you wrote something that you were condemning Dr. Fake, oh, my bad again, Dr. Fauci for endangering the American public, they would never let that get up. They would take it down. You're preaching hate and anger. Osama bin Laden, who orchestrated the 9/11 attacks, gets his letter put up on TikTok, and for all the Gen Z people who follow it, jump on it. Now, again, this is a Daily Mail survey of Gen Z 18 to 29 years of age. And breaking it down for you again, 20% of those surveyed, what do you think of bin Laden? 20% had a positive view of this killer that struck our country, the modern day Pearl Harbor. 20% of those Gen Z 18-29 think he's probably a good guy. Might like to sit down and have a beer with him. Really? That is sickening, disgusting, and troubling. The fact that 20%, one-fifth of those surveyed, looked at bin Laden as being positive in their view. And then 31%, when asked, what do you think about bin Laden's views, as he expressed in the letter, and that is, the U.S. has been wrongly supporting Israel, and Americans have been helping oppress the Palestinians. What do you think? Well, 31% of those surveyed say his views are good. And there is no evidence on anything that they're pointing out here. It's just that they're just going to go ahead and accept the fact that it must be Osama bin Laden. I mean, if 20% are willing to say they have a positive view of the man after what he did, and 31% say, I think his views overall are good, they do not know what they speak, obviously. And I'm not talking about just not being educated, but they're just simply willing to look at the name and make a decision. I had to ask you, and the Daily Mail survey did not raise this question, how would you compare Osama bin Laden to Hitler to Trump? Rank who you like best. Could there be a tie at the top between Osama and Hitler just to get rid of Trump? As I told you, in the next hour, we're going to have more on the latest out of the Israeli conflict with Hamas. But there's another story that I have regretfully not made time for, but I'm going to today. And I should have reported on it the other day, but we had so many things happening. This comes out of Nigeria. I'm sure you've seen some of it. This involves jihadists again. When you are celebrating Christmas Eve with your family, hopefully, and looking forward to the next day as well, the birth of Jesus, There was a jihadist massacre carried out in Nigeria on Christmas Eve, killing at least 195 Christians, knowing they were all Christians. The Nigerian media is referring to these members of this group as just bandits. Well, they were more than bandits. They were members of a majority Muslim ethnic group, jihadist, and according to those investigating it, they were running into homes on Christmas Eve, hundreds of homes, killing entire families. Those investigating say it was well coordinated, and all of it was just the latest, I should stress, in the string of killings. The religious freedom advocates and Christians on the ground are denouncing, and rightly so, as genocide. They were attacking primarily the middle belt, which is the dividing line between Nigeria's majority Christians south and majority Muslim north. Now, note, I'm not saying all Muslims were involved in this. I'm saying only the jihadists. They've been living beside each other all this time. But now, maybe because of what they've seen happen in Israel, with Hamas going in, maybe these jihadists in Nigeria thought, we can do this right here just to the south of us. We have a bunch of Christians. We don't have Jews, but we can get Christians, especially on Christmas Eve. They have at least 10,000 that have been displaced from their homes because they were burned down. And when I tell you that they have 195 killed that night, that's what they've confirmed. There are many still missing. Many were hacked to pieces. They're not even sure which part belongs with which body and which part. And they don't know how many might have raced off into the brush to stay, possibly save themselves, but then were killed then. One of these investigating it saying security personnel were leading the operation. A local Islamic leader insisted in an address that the killings did not have a religious dimension. He said that yesterday. He said Muslims, Christians, and even people who don't have religion go to the same market, they buy the same foodstuffs, they enter the same vehicles, pay the same fares, so it's not the issue of religion. Let's not say that anybody is planning this against Christians or against Muslims. No, it is the issue of leadership. Now, as far as the leadership in Nigeria, he might have a point, but you cannot deny when these jihadists go and target Christians. Obviously, it's a religious factor as well. To try to discuss it in any other fashion, you'd have to be absolutely stupid. That would be like saying what Hamas carried out against Israel, it was nothing to do with the religious issue. No one can say that. Anyone even dare say it, they'd be laughed out. And in fact, members of Hamas would probably be right in your face and insist, yes, it is. And I would imagine these jihadists that carried out these would also disagree with this Muslim leader and said, it's not an issue of religion. Well, he's entitled to his opinion. He made the statement. And now we'll see if maybe there's repercussions inside his own community for him taking such an opinion. On another subject, you remember when Hunter Biden, obviously you remember this, I'm going to remind you anyway, refused to show up for congressional subpoena to testify in front of the committee, subcommittee beginning a deposition to gather information about possible impeachment of his father, Joe Biden. But Hunter Biden did not show up inside Congress. He did do a self-praising monologue just outside the Capitol about how great he was and how bad everyone else was. And later, the White House spokeswoman, Karine Jean-Pierre, said, yes, the president knew what Hunter was going to do. Whoa. She said the president knew what Hunter was going to do that day? Did he have more than knowledge? Did he encourage? Could that knowledge, encouragement, raise more impeachment issues for President Biden? That story, when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
House Republicans say it's simple. They want to know if the president of the United States, who happens to be Hunter's dad, helped and encouraged his son to ignore that congressional subpoena to give a closed-door deposition earlier this month. Now, Hunter Biden did appear at the Capitol, but outside the Capitol on December 13th, the same day House Republicans sat inside a committee room waiting for him to show up and answer questions about a myriad of topics. Now, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee and Oversight Committee say they have reason to believe the president and Hunter's dad encouraged him to skip the deposition. In a statement, Congressman Jim Jordan and James Comer say in light of an official statement from the White House that President Biden was aware in advance that his son, Hunter Biden, would knowingly defy two congressional subpoenas, we are compelled to examine as part of our impeachment inquiry whether the president engaged in a conspiracy to obstruct a proceeding of Congress.
Oh, my God. Obstruct a proceeding of Congress. I hear echoes of, insurrection? January 6th? Those are grounds for impeaching a president if he's obstructing actions of Congress. If Joe Biden knew and even encouraged him to do that. Now, we're going to see how fast the White House eventually gets around to walking all of this back and trying to re-clarify and making ourselves clear and being fully transparent again. You can't ask Joe Biden right now because he's on vacation down the U.S. Virgin Islands. I just saw a report earlier that something like 40%+ of his time in office has been spent on vacation. Now, that's assuming if he's in the White House, he's not on vacation. You know what I mean? So if this could be another way to get to Joe Biden, aside from whatever Hunter Biden's dealings are and involving Joe Biden or not, if he did know that his son was going to go outside and defy a congressional subpoena, not go inside and testify, maybe even encourage him not to go put himself in front of them at that point. Well, I imagine the leaders of the House will be looking closer at that, and we'll all be watching, won't we? The full evidence of crime, impeachable offense among the high crimes and misdemeanors. And then you have the common street crime, which continues because we have blue cities, mayors, prosecutors, and blue states with the same, they just turn it the other way. Perfect example now out of New York. A man is accused of stabbing two teenage girls in New York's Grand Central Terminal Christmas Day. Stabbing two of them. That was Christmas Day. You know where he is now? He's not in jail. He's been released already. The two girls apparently were sitting there, and he pulled out a knife, started stabbing them. One of them had to be treated for a collapsed lung. Thank God they're going to live. And he was shouting racist remarks. I want all white people dead. This is not his first infraction, by the way. According to the New York Post, he's been arrested 17 times over the past two decades. More than half a dozen domestic violence complaints by just one woman that he stalked her for more than a year. But the judge appointed by New York Mayor Adams decided he can be put back onto the street, even though he said, I'm going to kill this person, and I don't care what kind of green card the government gave you, you open your mouth and say something, I'll shoot you right now. In other words, he's also going to attack an illegal, or an immigrant, as they like to call them. And he's now back on the streets again. He's obviously a mental case. He needs help. He should not be on the streets. Mayor Adams appointed a judge. He said, let him go. Let him roam about the city, finding more targets. Coming up in the next hour, a closer look at the latest involving Israel and the Hamas fight. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.